Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
Speak for Yourself with Jason Whitlock and Marcellus Wiley. Coming to you live from Las Vegas, presented by Hyundai. Counting down to Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury. The rematch is tomorrow. We'll be here to enjoy it. Hello and welcome to Speak for Yourself, the most fearless show in sports. We're joined today by LeVar Arrington and TJ Husmanzadeh. Coming up, Andre Ward and Sean Porter will be here to look ahead to the big fight. But, hey, we love football here, so we start with football.
Yes.
Where the owners approved a proposal for a new collective bargaining agreement yesterday, which would bring a lot of changes if approved by the players, including expanding the regular season and the playoffs. But reportedly, the deal also includes new limits on Roger Goodell's power, bringing in a neutral arbitrator to handle most of the player discipline cases that previously fell under the commissioner's authority. Is this the right move?
Oh, it's the best move. Just imagine Roger Goodell's resume if you were to remove the disciplinary role from his record and those missteps. It will be impeccable. He has grown the game to this level, to this magnitude, where everyone is profiting off the game, and it's the biggest game in our country. So, yeah, the one wart on his resume needs to be removed, and that's the disciplinary role.
I don't like the move. There's just under 1,700 active players in NFL. To get this, you have to give up something. There's very few players that get in trouble. So in essence, you're giving up something working for a minimum amount of players that get in trouble. It's really, you want this? What are you willing to give up? I don't like it because there's not that many players that are getting in trouble that you give up something to get this.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the business aspect of it, I think it's a good move because I don't think that Roger Goodell should be handling the disciplinary actions for these players.
Right.
I said it at the time when he took over these powers. I was like, hold on, man. We have an attorney general and we have a president. And there have been twice as many attorney generals as presidents because attorney generals get fired. Dealing with punishment and crime and criminal behavior or just wrong and right is a messy endeavor. Roger Goodell needs to remove himself, and arbitrate is a great move. Marcellus, I agree with you. If we take Ray Rice off of Roger Goodell's resume, he's looked at completely different. He's looked at in proper perspective. It's hard litigating human behavior. He needs to remove himself from that. I'm happy he's doing it, or hopefully it'll happen. All right, let's move to the draft, where there's a lot of speculation about where Tua Tagovailoa will land come April. But the former Bama quarterback has some ideas of his own, saying his ideal situation would be to play for the Cowboys and that Dak Prescott being there wouldn't be a problem, explaining, quote, "I wouldn't mind learning under whatever guy that's the starter. Give me a whole year to rest up and then go back out and compete." I don't like this mindset. You don't like this mindset?
I love this mindset.
Really?
Look, we saw the model work to success with Patrick Mahomes in the sense of sitting there behind a starter, learning how to become a professional. Despite what your talent level is, it will be enhanced once you understand the game and is able to slow down in those meeting rooms. But it's also, everyone sells the team concept in sports, and you should. But before you get to the team, you have to get to me. And there is no I in team, but there is a me in team. And people have to respect that this guy is knowing that there's a commonality between selfishness and selflessness. Self. So guess what? Let me focus on myself, get me right before I step on that field as a pro.
I like it because he knows my body is going to take a while to get healthy.
That's a red flag.
They still going to draft him. So because he's going to be drafted. And then what I really love about it is, let me rest up and then go back out there and compete.
it don't matter who's a quarterback on it. He feels if I'm competing and if it's an even competition, I'm going to beat you out. So I like that thought process.
TJ, if you sitting out there in the draft and the guys basically say, you know what, I want to take a red shirt year because of my health, that doesn't make you say, damn, despite all these reports about his hip and a positive progress, he doesn't believe he'll be ready to play in 2020.
He doesn't want to rush it back. If he's that good, you sit 1 year, it's not a big deal.
I mean, look, Brooklyn Nets did this with Kevin Durant. You're going to not sign Kevin Durant because you're like, oh, he needs a redshirt year.
He got championships.
You guys are basing this off the injury. Can't base this off of the injury. You got to base it off of him really looking at it the same way he approached college. He learned from Jalen Hurts all year, gets his opportunity in the national championship game. We know the rest is history. There is nothing wrong with a rookie coming in with the mindset to sit and learn, because it is indeed a different educational GPA level that you have to have going into the National Football League, especially at quarterback, to have success. I like the mindset. The one thing we didn't touch on that I thought was very interesting, wants to go to Dallas.
Oh,
wants to be behind Dak Prescott for how long?
A year. I think that was a green response. Yeah. That wasn't like directed with malice. That was a green response.
You better pay attention. That man said, give me a year. Jalen, better call Dak.
I'm going to say the thing we haven't touched on that may be an issue here. He may be throwing out some bait so he does drop in the draft to perhaps a better team.
It's worked. I mean, look, we saw Lamar Jackson and everyone was sitting there with the 32nd selection, like, oh, man, Lamar Jackson, poor you. No, he won because he went to a team that was already built and ready for him to step in with that talent.
A little different, though. Lamar wasn't the consensus number one pick heading to the season.
True.
Tua was the number one pick heading to the season. He got hurt. Joe Burrow had a great year. He's not dropping.
I don't think he should drop.
No chance.
Sitting out there saying, healthy Justin Herbert that's ready to go right away, versus Tua?
You're going to have your rookie lumps regardless. If it's Herbert, Tua, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But Tua's so talented, he's not dropping at all.
He's not a prolific runner anyway. So you're not going to base it. I mean,
that left arm is dead.
They're going to see where he's at in things when they get to the combine. They're going to check his health 100 times over. If he passes that bill of health, I mean, nobody's
going to
have a problem
with that. And so you're not sitting there. He's been injured twice at Alabama. I know one was an ankle or whatever, but now a hip, and he's saying he'd like a year to rest up. Not a red flag at all.
We met him at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Him and his family is some of the most humble humans that you'll ever meet in life. I think he's just taking a humble approach, except for giving Dak Prescott one year.
Dak on notice.
Dak, you get 1 year to teach me how to play in this time for you.
Tua's a lot like me. He knows exactly what Dak is.
Oh, man.
And he ain't no franchise quarterback.
Oh, wow.
All right, I'm lost. All right, to another guy looking for an opportunity, Eric Bieniemy. After the Chiefs offensive coordinator was passed over for NFL head coaching jobs this year, he recently popped up as the leading candidate for the top job at his alma mater, Colorado. But reportedly this week, he withdrew from consideration, informing the school he is not interested in the job. I don't like this. If you're a head coach, go be a head coach.
Anywhere?
Is this a mistake? Oh,
really?
Anywhere, they're paying millions.
At 5-7, Colorado, perennial 5-7. You know what?
This isn't a mistake.
It's not a mistake. This is smart by him. He knows that the shortest distance between where he wants to be and where he is going straight, not backwards, to come back to the NFL level. So I love this mindset. I love the fact that Eric Bieniemy realizes I can ride the wave of this offense, get more credit as a part of this offense, and then that would be the shortest distance to a head coaching job.
He's on the cusp of being 1-32, and that's 1-32 NFL head coaches. You go to Colorado, you're going to be in the bottom half. This is brilliant, by the way, of being me. You're going to be in the bottom half of Pac-12 every year.
Every year.
Why?
There's no longer Rashawn Salaam.
Why?
You can't win
there. They can't recruit.
You can't win there.
Is Colorado better than Minnesota or on the same level as Minnesota?
No.
Minnesota in the Big Ten. Why?
They're not.
Why?
Minnesota has always been a good team. Since Glenn Mason, they have always been a good football team. I know firsthand how good Minnesota's football team is because they knocked us off as a number
Colorado
two team.
Minnesota has always been good. Bottom half of the Pac-12.
Look, when P.J. Fleck left Western Michigan to go be the head coach of Minnesota, trust me, a lot of people, oh, that's not a great job, blah, blah. If you're a hell of a coach, It doesn't matter where you coach at.
You
coach at Maranatha if you're a hell of a coach, a high school in California.
Were they talking about him being an NFL head coach before he left?
No, but
well, then why are we starting
if you're a hell of a coach, you can be a hell of a
you
coach.
You a hell of a host. You want to just do some little podcast in the basement?
Let me tell you this. Just like I told you yesterday, if I did a podcast, we wouldn't be
in
there.
We ain't doing it.
It'll be the best damn podcast.
I'll tell you that.
That's it. I just can't believe.
No. No.
$2-4 million
He's always going to be
being a head coach in the NFL. He's right there.
It's always going to be players over
the challenge is in front of him, always. Not behind him. You say go behind to prove that you are ready for what's in front of you. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think it's going to take too much time for him to go into Colorado. That's going to be a 2-3 year build.
They better give him an 8-year contract.
You don't want to put yourself in a position where you could possibly theoretically sabotage your career.
Feel yourself.
Move.
It's time to be bougie right now. You know, I used to race all the homies, light pole to light pole, high school, college. As soon as I got drafted, they were like, let's go off.
No. I was still racing.
And that's why you were injury prone, too.
That's true.
That's true. Hell, no, I ain't racing. Hey, I ain't racing no more. Too much money.
All right,
too
listen.
Too much in front
make a good point.
Let's get to the fight. We're in Vegas. We're here for Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury.
We talk about physical fitness a lot, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. And if you head to calm.com/sports40, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to nature scenes LeBron loves and so much more, like sleep stories and meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/sports40. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/sports40. That's calm.com/sports40.
And two-time welterweight champion, Showtime Porter. Thank you guys for joining us.
For having us.
Listen, let's start with the commission banning these guys from having a stare down today. I think it's a bit of an overreaction, but I also think the tension is really high between these two guys. The emotion is real.
I'm in the same vein that you're in. Like, the beef is real. Like, you're really trying to hurt me. You know, and that's how Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury feel. That each of those guys are trying to take food out of their baby's mouths, and that's real in boxing, because when you lose a fight, your pay scale changes. You don't make that amount in the next fight. So all of that stuff that we say is real. So they're dealing with all of that, the magnitude of the event, and then you got a guy in your face talking crazy. So it's going to be some tension. I think if they were able to do the weigh-in later today, face-to-face, I think they'd be fine. But Bob Bennett, the executive officer, the head commissioner here, I get it. He's not trying to mess up his money, and he's not trying to mess up their money. So he's taking precaution.
But, Dre, it is what it is. Wednesday, let me ask you, have you ever seen a face-off like you saw on Wednesday? It was premature. It was early. But we got I got an epic face-off. I had never seen a face-off like that ended the way that they were able to resolve it. So I'm not mad about not having a face-off today, because I think we got everything we needed Wednesday, and I think we're going to get the rest today.
But we've seen intensity in those moments before, but this is another level. Why is it so deeply rooted, and why are we in this moment right now?
Because it's a lot on the line. It's a lot of money on the line. It's legacy on the line. It's reputation on the line. It's bragging rights on the line. You got two dudes full of testosterone, tired of hearing about each other, tired of looking at each other, and now we about to get it on Saturday night. I don't want you in my face talking crazy. Mm. Move. Get back. That's what happened.
You know, and Bob getting old. Bob's like, I'm too old for this.
Yeah, Bob stays out the way. He said, man, y'all young folks do
he
that.
He said, I'm too old for this. We just going to break it up all together, get on the scale, and then have a nice day. Yeah.
Are you buying that Tyson Fury is going to bring the fight to Deontay Wilder?
I done ate all that up, man. I do. I believe it. I believe he's going to take the fight to Deontay. Okay. Mm. I believe that there's some success that could lie in that. No one's taking the fight to Deontay. We don't know how he's going to react. Everyone says, well, he's a fighter. How do you think he's going to react? Listen, y'all see how everybody reacts when I get all up in them. They have problems.
I like it.
But I want to see if Deontay Wilder has a problem.
But
with
being
that.
The better boxer, winning on points without the knockdowns. Basically, Tyson Fury wins that fight without those two knockdowns. Why would you change that plan? Who revises that strategy?
Even again, we talk about he's saying he wants to knock him out in the first two rounds. Maybe he wants to get an early lead, a comfortable early lead, and then start the box after that. So, yes, we all in agreement that his best attribute is his movement, his speed, his elusiveness, and his hand speed. Use that, but try something first, something new first. Mm. I like it.
Is it really a safe place in the ring against Deontay Wilder?
No.
Whether you box him or fight him?
No.
It's really not.
No.
Tyson Fury boxed him the first time around. He almost got counted out in the 12th round.
Yeah.
Like, that dude has an 83-inch reach. So even pulling back and trying to avoid the punches, it's no guarantee you're going to do that. And this is what we're losing sight of from the first fight. Tyson Fury, there were a lot of moments where Fury attacked Deontay Wilder, got off on him, 2-3 pieces, and Wilder had no answer. He buzzed Wilder multiple times. I was a guy who was a good boxer, but made his living on fighting guys who were aggressive, big punchers, and it wasn't from staying away, it was going to him. So I like the game plan. It's dangerous, right? It's risky, and at the end of the night, either he's going to be called crazy or crazy as a fox.
Now, Deontay Wilder, like you said, hasn't been pressed. So most guys stay outside. One, it's either because of fear, or two, you actually respect how he can respond with that pressure. Which one you think it is?
Oh, it's a bunch. It's a bunch. You respect his power, but you also looking at this big dude like, how do I get in? Where do I begin? You know? So I think for Deontay Wilder, and I think that, again, we're talking about Tyson Fury being onto something. How do I get in on Deontay Wilder? How do I attack Deontay Wilder? And I think he's trying to solve that puzzle that no one's been able to solve.
I think the weigh-in later today is going to tell us everything we need to know.
Mm.
If Tyson Fury is high 260s, low 270s, he's looking for a fight more than he is a boxing match. If he's in the 250 somewhere around there like he was the first time around, he's looking more for a boxing match than a fight. I think he's going to come in at 270. I've been watching him. One minute he looks lean. Next minute I'm like, this dude really is 270.
That's what
we need to know.
He's been wearing jackets with sweatshirts on top.
Yeah, that's
playing mind games.
Yeah, he's been wearing the suits, the nice suits and all that. So he's playing mind games. At the end of the day, you got to love this. What Deontay Wilder say yesterday, I think he's made for me and I'm made for him. This is perfect for us.
Yeah.
This is perfect for our legacy and for boxing. I think both of these guys have an energy that's unlike no other, especially in the heavyweight division. Vision, and we're going to see it all today and most certainly tomorrow night.
Okay, a lot of conversation about what Fury will do different in his adjustments. Biggest adjustment we need to see from Wilder.
Listen, Wilder, I talking to him yesterday, he said, I don't need to make any adjustments.
Oh, really?
I agree.
Oh, really?
But look. He said, our game plan was perfect. I just didn't execute it. I got out of myself. I put a lot of pressure on myself. I was a little anxious and ready to knock this guy out, so I was swinging for the fence, swinging for everything. I think his adjustment doesn't lie in the boxing style or what he's going to bring, but it's he's going to manage his emotions.
Yeah.
He's going to manage his patience and be more poised in the ring and be more accurate. And I think that's where his success lies.
I think the biggest thing I'd like to see Wilder do, like, we know what his gift is, right? The right hand. He's got God-given power. His body doesn't speak to having that kind of power. Skinny dude, rangy, but he has it. He's also learned the nuance of setting that power up. He knows how to get a guy in a certain position, wait for the right time, and get it off. I just want him to disguise it a little bit more. If I'm sitting at home on my couch and I know it's coming, that guy that you're fighting, he knows it's coming.
he certainly knows.
He disguises it, and he disguises it by feints, looking like you're going to do something but actually not doing it, and then using the left hand, the jab. 83-inch reach, man, use your God-given ability.
We had Leonard Ellerby on the show earlier this week, and he pushed back against me that I think these two guys, because they're heavyweights, can lift all of boxing. If this fight is what it's supposed to do, everybody at all divisions benefits in a way that Floyd carried the sport for a while, but heavyweights can carry it even further.
You have to pay homage to Floyd Mayweather because he made it possible for myself, for a lot of us, to make the money that we make right now. He transcended the sport. Then you have the heavyweight division that everyone in the world never watches boxing, but they know who a heavyweight is. They know what a heavyweight champion is. America has to have a heavyweight champion. And as long as the heavyweight division thrives, we all thrive.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, obviously with Floyd's reign, and as long as he did it, he kind of got us off of the mindset of, you know, as the heavyweight division goes, the sport goes. So it's not quite that anymore. But anytime the heavyweight division is thriving, boxing is thriving. And there's one thing that Floyd was missing in his fights that the casual fan yearned for.
What they want now.
The imminence, right? Yeah. Feeling like this fight could end at any point in time. Yeah. I respected Floyd, right? He was one of my legends, one of the guys I looked up to, but I understood the nuance of what I was looking at. The casual fan doesn't. But they understand a knockout.
They understand a knockout.
They understand that clearly.
We getting that tomorrow.
Ooh.
Now ask me who.
I'm getting there right now, because if you look at this, we've all seen big fights. This seems really big. I mean, as I was coming in around 8 this morning, I saw at the lobby bar, MGM is packed. Y'all ain't catch that. But it is mega, but which one is the bigger star? Is it Fury or is it Wilder?
The bigger star? It's gotta be Fury, because Fury is multi-dimensional. You know, he can do a whole lot, and he can do that everywhere. He just did it in the WWE. He just did it in wherever they were. They were in Europe or something like that, in Africa. He did it over there. He's been everywhere. He's been able to translate everywhere he's been. So I think right now.
So this draw is greater for Fury, you think, right now, than it is Wilder?
You know, and they got into that argument during the presser. Who brought all these people here?
That's what I'm asking.
They both did.
Yeah, they don't do that. Get off that fence.
They both did. Okay. But if we being real, it's a lot of foreigners here today. It's a lot of foreigners
Listen,
here today.
I'm not going to get caught up in all the semantics of who brought the fans, who didn't.
Yeah.
The winner of this fight, that's the bigger star.
Yeah.
That's the one that's going to graduate. That's the one that's going to be the household name. They both getting a check, but one person's leaving here with a different cachet when they get out that ring if they get their hand raised.
Sean's saying there's going to be a knockout. Do you believe that? And if so, who's getting knocked out?
So this has been my stance on a prediction. I haven't predicted all week. Everybody's pushing back on me. Come on, come on, come on. You're dancing. No, I'm not. This fight is too close to call on paper. And then obviously what we saw in the first fight, it was a split draw. There's nothing polarizing about either guy where I can say, this dude is going to win the fight. But that speaks to the magnitude of this fight. This speaks to the fact that this is a super fight. And the winner of this fight is going to be the guy that executes under the lights, and I don't know who that is. Yeah. So we present the facts, right?
Yeah.
Make a case for both guys. Then we step back and let them be great.
But Dre, come on now.
Step back and let them be great.
But we in Vegas.
Can we do that?
In the spirit of gambling.
Step back and let them be great.
No, we ain't getting that.
Step back and let them be great.
Take a risk sometime, man. Roll the dice right now.
I do that 90% of the time. 10%, I gotta be wise too, though.
Oh, man, you're too buttoned up with that response right now.
Okay, what's your pick?
Obviously.
I say Wilder early.
Obviously, Wilder can do it with one punch.
Yeah.
Fury is going to have to be,
I think it's going to be accumulation. Yeah.
If you think there's going to be a knockout first. And one guy only exactly. needs one punch, you think Wilder's going to knock him out?
I will.
You do.
What happened was, y'all came in with me.
See, that's what happened when you forced to make a pick.
At the end of the day.
Stand your ground, Sean.
Bomb squad!
To this day.
Andre, these guys in this big of a fight, could you come out of retirement and fight this kind of money that they're generating? Could you come out of retirement and want to fight one of these guys at the heavyweight division?
In theory.
In theory.
I played that back and forth multiple times. In theory. I like where I'm sitting right now. I like sitting here with y'all.
In my
crew at ESPN, I like it. I like chilling.
We don't hit back, huh?
the thing is this. That's why I say in theory, because you can come up with all these ideas, you know, the money, the opportunity, but then you start remembering the pain. Then you start remembering what it feels like to be hit. And all of a sudden, those stars, just they just go away. Just yeah. randomly, just go, poof.
Right.
I just ignored that response.
But he's still active, though.
I'm still
at it. He can't think like I did. That.
No.
But look, he going to call me one day and say, man, I know what you're talking about.
Join us now are two of the biggest voices in boxing, yes. ESPN's Joe Desitore and Brian Kelly of Fox Sports. All right, let's return. Brian Kenny, I'm sorry. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame coach.
It's Vegas.
I have had a few drinks.
You're not as angry as that, Brian.
Have a little more.
There we go.
The Wilder Fury fight. Joe, you were saying something interesting. There's already thousands of people lined up just to see the weigh-in.
Jason, it's incredible. BK and I were down there in a production meeting, and we had to snake our way through thousands, thousands of people who are waiting to get into the arena right now. They're not getting on the scale until 3:45 local time. They've been out there since 10 a.m., BK.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything like it. I was trying to think maybe Canelo Mayweather, but no, this is the biggest line I've seen that early of people getting in for the weigh-in.
Heavyweights bring out something different.
Yes, yes they do. Mm-hmm.
Can you guys, like, articulate that? Because
I mean, listen, we our adult lives have been spent in the sport, former gym rats in upstate New York, who then ended up on TV talking about boxing. But there's boxing, and then there's heavyweight boxing. There's heavyweight boxing, and then there's undefeated world champions facing off against each other. It's a sport unto itself when you get to the heavyweight division. It becomes not just mainstream sports galvanizing attention grabbing in the heavyweight division. It becomes mainstream America attention grabbing when you get this kind of a fight.
That was always the conversation was, even going back to Hagler, Leonard, Hearns, Duran, the golden era, that those guys had to fight each other and have so many great fights just to grab some of the market share, right? And even recently, I mean, Floyd and Pacquiao had to work hard to generate the type of revenue that they eventually did. Floyd started off, he was lightweight champion, 8 title defenses, and he looked around and said, nobody's paying attention to me.
Yeah.
And so then he got into the business of it and became the guy that he became. But he had to generate that. If we get, and we will this week, and I think, Joe, we're not going to get another draw, I think we're going to get a heavyweight champion of the world. This is just the beginning. You know, because then you can focus on one guy and everybody's got to go through that guy.
Keyword, the
Joe.
Yes, the one.
You were at the press conference yesterday and were in the middle of that scrap. Some people think Wednesday. Some people think that was manufactured. You were there.
No, I was almost a human lawn dart. I thought that they were going to pick me up and launch me across the arena. Listen, I'll tell you right now, I've been with all of us have gotten to know the guys really well through the years. And I was with them for the lead up to this promotion all the way back in early January. And they were very deferential to each other. They were focused in. But then you get into the red hot crucible of fight week and you're only 72 hours out and 48 hours out. And then you walk out there and you're standing opposite the man who's trying to ruin your life plan. Who's trying to alter the course of everything you are, and it spilled over, and it was real, and I made some regrettable decisions of trying to step in between those two guys. But here's what you need to know that you didn't hear on television the other day during the press conference, is during the commercial break, when the mics are down, and it's still going, and it's heated, and it's real. And that is just the reality of the position that they're in right now.
They're both very vocal guys. I mean, they're charismatic guys. They're used to being vocal. I think they've been very respectful of each other through the buildup and even in the fighter meetings that we had yesterday. They're very respectful. Yet, when you get nose to nose, that energy is there. So I think that's real. And I'm down on the manufactured stuff of the pushing. Oh, remember B-Hop slapped, was it Winky Wright? And it was like, why are you doing this? You don't need this. I'd rather Manny Pacquiao style. You stand there and smile, and then it's war on Saturday night. Here, though, I think it's just an element of their personalities. They are who they are, and they're used to mouthing off. When they get face to face, there's going to be that energy that they're going to want to push each other back.
Now, this intensity, we're talking about it. It's hard to compare what we're seeing at the weigh-in fight line. We're seeing these two undefeated heavyweights in their primes going to have this contest. And one is going to be the heavyweight champion of the world. Is that guy going to be a bigger star for this sport than even Floyd Mayweather was?
Well, I think it depends on how you measure what is a bigger star. I will tell you this, that person, the winner on Saturday night, will have the most leverage in the sport He's going to control and hold the keys to the sport and be wildly marketable. But what you see instantly is, because we're talking big men who are undefeated, big men who can punch, is how quickly they can shift the paradigm. They can change businesses. They can get things accomplished. To be case point, it took years of growth of Mayweather and Pacquiao to land at what they landed at. These guys come right in and two networks are coming together. The whole world's coming together to make this happen. They can move mountains.
There's no question. There's the opportunity that the winner of this fight will be bigger than anything that we've seen.
Yes.
Going back to probably as big as Lennox, maybe as big as we're talking Holyfield, Bo, and Mike Tyson. The beautiful thing about this, if it could happen, is when you have one champ, then when you beat the champ, you're the new champ.
That's
and
right.
You just get that. Just like when we had, Tyson loses, right, to Buster Douglas. Douglas loses to Holyfield. And instantly, the guy's a superstar. Instantly, by virtue of being the heavyweight champion of the world and going back, Ingemar Johansson, Floyd Patterson, Rocky Marciano. Anybody, when you are the champ, you're remembered forever. Max Baer, guys who otherwise you would not even remember, heavyweight champion of the world, an instant global superstar.
Brian, people have been upset with me over social media, not the real
world. No way.
Because I
doesn't have to finish that. Yeah. No way.
Because I keep asking this question because I find it fascinating. Mm-hmm. Boxing's history, when a white guy and a black guy get in the ring, generally speaking, boxing plays that card and pits that the whole racial dynamic. This fight hasn't gone there. No. Does that speak to just how the personality of these two fighters? Or is it because Don King's not involved? Why haven't they gone that stereotypical route?
Hopefully we've evolved a little bit, right? I mean, it's unfortunate to this day. I know Larry Holmes, he's a great guy. I know Jerry Cooney. They both hate that aspect of it, that fight became that they became symbols of things they didn't want to be. This is vastly different, maybe because it's global, maybe because Tyson Fury is part of an oppressed people as well, as an Irish traveler. He's not coming up as part of the white hierarchy. He's coming in from the very, very bottom. And Deontay is a small town country boy. So this is, I think an element of where we are. I hope, despite what we see in many aspects of our country, that this is now, hey, we have two fighters. And as we've seen maybe through the years with Eastern European fighters getting back involved and really dominating the sport, whether you're white, black, Asian, whatever, how do you fight? How do you conduct yourself? That's what's important.
There's not even a hint of it. It is an unnecessary tool in selling this fight to both of these guys. Both of these guys celebrate their backgrounds, celebrate who they are. You're going to see that with Deontay tomorrow, I believe, in the ring walk, as we had a conversation with him yesterday. And to Brian's point, if you really read in and understand the backstory of the ethnic pride of being an Irish traveler, gypsy, you really understand the layers as to why Tyson even takes some offense to any hint of that at all. But no, nothing to do with this. This is more of a celebration of who they are, where they come from. And we haven't seen it at all.
Yeah, I mean, we come through. I know what you're saying. I'm glad you bring it up, because you should bring it up. You should pull the air out of it. That for years, it was, when are we going to have a white heavyweight champion? And I'm not talking about the early 1900s. I'm talking about 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And that conversation was still there. And now it's not there. Good. Vladimir Klitschko, white heavyweight champion. Do we even notice that he was white? No, he's Ukrainian. Does it matter, what skin color you are? No, should not matter at all.
I do think here in America, though, having an American heavyweight champion and one that, is recognized, he doesn't have one belt or two, but that he's clearly recognized as the American. I think that's better for us here.
I agree with you, Jason.
Deontay Wilder to win.
I think geography has had a lot to do with why all of a sudden there's this groundswell to have this, and everybody is looking forward to this. Because as great as the Klitschkos were, and they were dominant champions, and they were so talented, by their style, that Eastern European upright robotic style, and fighting mostly in Germany, they threw a wet blanket over the hot fire of the heavyweight division
in
America.
Plus, the two brothers were champs, and they weren't going to fight each other.
Absolutely.
And as good as they were, it was a mess.
And then in Tyson Fury, so listen, I agree. America loves a badass knockout artist as a heavyweight champion. You got that with Deontay Wilder. America always loves a showman, too. A Vegas-style celebrity showman who's outlandish and outspoken.
That's Fury.
And you got that with Tyson Fury.
Exactly.
He plays very American as well. He's like almost an international Vegas character, if anything, not a Brit.
All right, look, styles make fights. Are you guys confident we're going to have a great fight on Saturday.
I already saw that we did.
Yeah, I can't see it missing. Yeah. I mean, one guy is the boxer, and he's clear-headed. He's had six straight training camps. He's in tremendous condition. And Wilder, we see, is still the hardest puncher. I called that fight on Fox. I thought he was losing to Luis Ortiz almost every single round, and then it's over. So no matter what, even if Fury has 10 straight rounds in the books, you know, it doesn't matter. You know Deontay can end that fight with one shot.
Completely agree with BK. I think it's always fascinating when you watch Deontay Wilder because every single second you have to pay attention. And then with Tyson Fury, you have sublime skill. You also have size. And we're going to find out in a few hours how much size and what kind of a factor that is going to play in this fight. If he comes in close to 270 pounds, I do think he's going to step to him. I do think he's going to lean on him. I do think he's going
to
make it a dirty, rugged fight.
He wants
mauling
to. He says he wants
very
that.
Early. Yep. And most rematches are an exaggerated version of the first fight. First fight was great.
The voices of boxing for Fox Sports and ESPN. Brian Kenny, Joe Tessitore, thank you so much.
Muscle pain? I'm talking stopping your tracks. I'll never work out again. Oh my God, what am I going to do kind of pain? This is the kind of pain Dr. Jason Wersland was in when he created Theragun, the deep muscle massager that's unlike anything you've ever felt. Theragun isn't a cheap massager that just tickles your muscles. Our handheld percussive device uses a scientifically calibrated combination of speed, depth, and power to release the deepest muscle tension. It's this simple. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, an injury, or just everyday life, you can use Theragun. Theragun is the preferred muscle recovery device for over 250 professional sports teams and is used by hundreds of thousands of satisfied customers around the world to reduce pain, increase range of motion, and soothe aching muscles. Try Theragun risk-free for 30 days or your money back by going to Theragun.com/cadence. For a limited time, listeners to Speak for Yourself get a free charging stand with the purchase, a $79 value. That's Theragun.com/cadence. Theragun.com/cadence. CADENCE.
Welcome back. Joining the desk now, Fox Sports NBA analyst Rick Bucher. All right, let's talk some hoops. Where Russell Westbrook's emotions got the better of him last night against the Golden State Warriors, bumping Damian Lee before jawing at several Warriors players on the bench and getting ejected. After the game, Russ said he needs to hold himself to a higher standard, but also complained that he's, quote, always the one to be painted as the bad guy. All right, the question here is Westbrook's reputation hurting him, and does he have an unfair reputation?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it precedes him. So this is not about his character, because in real life, he's a good dude, upstanding dude. A lot of guys look up to Russell Westbrook and how he lives his life. But on the court, because you see that machine coming at you without a smile and that intensity, I think it's slanted negative for many people in their reception.
Yeah, to say it's his reputation, though, is to suggest that he's being treated unfairly. He's being treated this way because of his behavior. We saw him throw the arm at Steph Curry's brother-in-law, Damian Lee. and then he's saying, what did I do? What did I do? Look, refs watch tape too.
Yeah.
So if you're constantly questioning the call, and then they go back and they look at the tape and they go, hey, wait a minute, we got it right. You're making my job hard when I got it right. Mm. Then they're not going to cut you any slack, and you're going to, as a result, they're going to consider you guilty until proven innocent. Whether that's reputation or whether that's simply the way you're conducting yourself, I think he's getting what he ultimately
is. He leads the league in technical fouls, I think, with 13. He acknowledged yesterday that he is emotional.
Yep.
And that he needs to do a better job of controlling that. And that's one of my pet issues about all these dudes that just think, you know, there's some value in displaying their emotions at all time. Drives me crazy. He needs to get his emotions under control before he starts complaining about how the refs are treating him. Control yourself, and you'll get less technicals.
I've had this conversation with Draymond Green. Draymond Green is technical in the way he approaches this. If he's got no fouls going into the second quarter, he's going to foul somebody.
It's coming.
He's going to take somebody, and you won't see him complain. It's when he's got two fouls, and he's making sure, I don't want to pick up that third, and then he gets a cheapie, that's when he's going to go after the referee. It's calculated on his part. With Russ, Nothing is calculated. It's
beast
all
with
emotion.
Everybody. He beats with little kids on the sideline.
Well, it's a mischaracterization because a lot of it is our perception. And they're in the lion's den. And we ask them now to curtail their emotions. You go in the lion's den, you can't say cut your nails.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
true.
That's what happens. And I think sometimes when we have those moments and we see his emotions boil over, we fully characterize him as that guy for the rest of his career.
You know what the beauty of it was? The fourth quarter in the All-Star game, what we loved about it was the fact that the referees weren't expecting that. Nobody was expecting that. And they were allowed to express their emotion in that game. True. And there weren't nobody was going to get teed up in an All-Star game.
Let them live,
You know what, though? And TV does do this. TV likes the emotion. Because they can zero in on it. It's something to show when the play's dead and things like that. And so the game kind of baits you. Show that emotion. Show your joy.
Right.
Show your energy. Show when you're angry. That's part of the telecast. But for Russell Westbrook, he's got to do a better job of controlling his emotion.
But when it gets mislabeled, it follows you forever. Tyrann Mathieu in the Super Bowl going ballistic on his team. And we heard it in reception, like, oh, that's why they're down.
Emotion's good in football.
Oh, it's good in football. Tell me for serving that.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Deontay Wilder.
You can't
but
see.
First, who's your big dummy of the day?
My big dummy of the day go to you.
Oh, boy.
Listen to him.
Yeah. Welcome.
The man's name is Brian Kenny, not no damn Brian Kelly. Not the Notre Dame coach. Damn.
Everybody one day you'll be as old as me, or I don't know.
Or
anyway.
In Vegas as much as
I ain't going to be through as many bodies as you. That's
one day you'll be as hungover as me. All right, let's talk to Deontay Wilder, who will face off with Tyson Fury in a huge heavyweight rematch Saturday night. The first fight between these two guys was an epic slugfest that ended in a draw. Marcellus.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say we all want to see a winner this time around. Who you got?
Oh, we're going to see a winner, and we're going to see a knockout. Fury's going to press him. It's knockout in the second round? Oh, nah, Fury. You're going to get knocked out in the third round. Deontay Wilder wins. To this tape!
Round, I think, is a bit early. I think it happens in the seventh.
Okay.
Deontay Wilder to this day.
I get that knockout. With you, I'm with you.
All right, Uncle Jimmy.
Yup.
You got a winner for this fight, or you got any thoughts?
Well, you must think I'm crazy. You know who the hell I'm gonna pick to win this fight. Unlike you, nephew, I still got a connection to my peoples. I would never ever. Under no uncertain terms, pick against one of my own kind. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look here, man. I'm feeling my little Don King coming over me over here. See, only in America, during this month, could we have an event like we got right here.
Yeah.
Two pugilists the likes of the world has never seen.
Yeah.
And on Saturday night at the MGM, whether you like it or not, it's the biggest fight till this day.
Yeah.
Two men will enter. Only one man will leave. And it's only going to be one line that's going to walk out the MBM. And that line is a man of my own heart. He dances to the beat of his own drum. He don't give a damn about what none of y'all say. That man is just like me. He's a gypsy for the peoples. Yes!
History Month.
You know, man. That's where my money is.
You really picking Tyson Fury? Are you kidding?
And I paid for this shirt.
This month? You said this month.
Oh, wow. I can't believe that.
Come
that
on,
surprises
brother.
Me. All right.
How much money do you lose?
Let me get to my approval rating for Deontay Wilder.
Let's get it.
Not quite a GOAT just yet.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him a 23 job performance, 16 all-time greatest, 20 character, 20 authenticity, 79.
The Friday night fights.
But Saturday night, he'll be a GOAT.
Wow.
79.
I guess we did go to the same club last night. Look at that. Got the same score right there. 79 All-Star.
Of history.
A win obviously gets him to GOAT status. We're talking about an undefeated heavyweight champion in his prime. With that charisma, he'll be next level.
disrespectful.
All right, the internet doesn't, well, they do agree with
us.
They also have him at an all-star. 52.4% have him at an all-star, right on the cusp of
right there, where you need to be.